You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com. We continue our study in Matthew with Pastor Nathan Brown.
All right, let's jump into the teaching portion together, all right? Let me just pray again. God, let us center our minds on your word. Let us see what you're up to and what you're doing. And Heavenly Father, would you be glorified in our lives being changed? Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're in Matthew 17 this week. And before we jump into Matthew 17, I want to talk with you guys and I want to compliment you on something. And I'm really not setting you up. I'm actually telling you something that's true, but it's going to be hard for you to believe. You are incredibly faithful. You are incredibly faithful. You are insanely faithful. And when we read scripture where Jesus goes, "Oh, you of little faith," we go, what? What is going on here? And now you have a pastor standing in front of you saying, you are a creature that has massive faith. You already have massive faith. What I'm going to postulate, what I'm going to present to you today is we have massive amounts of faith. We're just putting it in the wrong spot. So, give you an example. I have an insane ability to meditate. I am an insane meditator. I have the gift of meditation. Some of you guys are just like me. You have the gift of meditation. And you are insanely gifted at it. You just use it the wrong way. You use it with worry. You meditate 24 hours a day on what could go wrong. You meditate constantly. Oh my gosh, it may be too sunny. All those beautiful, wonderful flowers that have popped up are all going to be burnt out. There's not enough moisture in the dirt for them to be able to hold on. All the beautiful things that God has bought up are all going to be fried today. You have an insane ability to worry. Do you know that those of you who are gifted with the insane ability to worry also have the gifts and talents to focus and meditate on all the things that are good? Because you have the ability to get something stuck in your head and run over it again and 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 again. Imagine if you just got stuck in your head, God is holy, and it ran again, 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 and again, and again. And for 24 hours a day, it ran. Same with faith. You have a massive amount of faith. You're just putting it in the wrong spot. Now, let's just have some fun for a second, okay? Some of you guys are going to have some wrong answers. That's okay. In this situation, Jesus, John the Baptist, God, and Paul, they don't work. So all you guys that went to Christian school, get rid of your answers, okay? What are things that you rely on? Rely on. Now, let me give you the definition of rely, because I know Michael's like, well, Nathan, what do you mean by rely? Is it a capital R? Does it have a long E? No, Michael, slow down. I'm going to explain it to you. Something that you put your full weight into. Something that you put all of yourself into. What are some things that you rely on? Now, for fun, let's stay away from spiritual stuff for a moment. Let's just talk about things that you rely on physically, mentally, okay, and emotionally. What are some things that you guys rely on? What? Yelp. Oh, my goodness. How would we live without it? This person has 2 stars. No. Okay. Okay, what else? What else do we rely on? Weather app. Absolutely. In Chicago, check it every 15 seconds. Okay, what else? The Blue Line. Absolutely, the Blue Line. Because when someone jumps on the tracks and slows down, I know that's kind of sad, but it happens. What happens? Nobody gets to work, right? What else do we rely on? Yes, Google. Thank you very much. I had to Google to find out if I relied on Google, and Google told me, yes, you search this many things. Okay, yeah. GPS, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, what else do we rely on? Running water. Ooh, that's a big one. What? Oxygen. Oh, man, you just went deep. You went deep. He went deep. All of you were like, dang, I should have said that answer. Hey, hold on a second. New kid. It's okay. All right. Okay. Electricity. Okay, what else? Gravity, yes. If we lose gravity, we're in some serious trouble. And a lot of you, you're relying on it right now. If not, you'd be hitting your head. Okay? What else? Okay, Tony. Yeah. Because when it doesn't function well, whoa, everything's out. Okay? So maybe, okay, I know we got a bunch. This is what I want you guys to think about. How many of you guys have been on an airplane? Okay? Do you realize, I mean, just please allow me to have some fun, the stupid, wicked awesomeness that an airplane is? I mean, I know. You're over it. But just think about it for a moment. An airplane, you get to get in it, and someone who's had too many drinks before they get in to fly the thing, okay, I know that's too real. Okay, you all get in, you strap yourself in, you sit in a chair, right? The captain gets on and says something you can't understand. Glad you're flying on this flight. You're like, could you not speak clearly in the beginning? He's like, I can't remember what I'm supposed to say, so I'll just mumble it all the way through. And then all of a sudden, the plane gets pushed back from the terminal. And then the plane lines up with other planes. And then the plane gets into this area of a runway. And then the pilot decides to, yeah, let's open this bad boy up. And then the plane starts to hurtle itself down the runway. And it reaches probably about 180 miles per hour. Let's just stop there for a second. You're going 180 miles per hour. Besides Matt Smith, who else has done that on a motorcycle? Okay, you guys, crazy, insane. Stop that. You're a dad now. Never again. Okay, so some of you guys are like, wow, when I'm on an airplane, I am a rebel. Yeah, you're going 180 miles per hour. And then the plane starts to do something. It starts to lean back, right? Lean back. Pilot's like, give it some more trim. I don't even know what that does, but give it some more trim. Okay, so you put the flaps out, more trim, and then the plane starts to go up, and then it starts to say, forget you, gravity, right? And then all of a sudden, you're going up in the air. You're going up, 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 up. And then you're waiting for you can unfasten your seatbelt sign to go off because you want a beverage, right? You're getting served a beverage at 30,000 feet. Isn't that incredible? And then not only that, when your airplane reaches its cruising altitude speed, you're going 365 miles per hour. And some of you guys, you're not spazzed out like I am when you're on the airplane. I'm like, this is amazing. This is amazing. But you're like, yeah. But what you're really doing is you're relying on what? That airplane not to what? Fall, crash. You're relying on it to get you to a destination. You're relying on it for it to get you where you want to go. And so what you've chosen to do is you've gotten into the airplane, you've gotten into your seat, and you have put the full weight of who you are into that chair, your full faith, and you have sat back and you have allowed that airplane to take you where you're going to go. Now, as a kid, we used to sing horrible songs in church. They were bad. The songs were super high-pitched and super low. It was like when the parts of your voice you never used all week. You came to church and you did it together. But there was a song and I went to Madge and I hugged her and I was like, Madge, do you remember this song? And she goes, yeah, I remember the song. It was one of my favorites. Don't ruin it, Pastor. Sorry, Madge. Okay. The song was Leaning on the Everlasting Arms of God. Okay? Now, I remember as a kid, the song went, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And you had to repeat it again because all the people who didn't get it the first time were like, so how does that song go? Then you went again, leaning, sing on leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Well, I think that's really bad because that was teaching Christians to only partially trust in God. Just lean against him. Just kind of like, maybe he'll support me. Have you ever leaned against something like slightly? We just kind of give a little bit of your, you know, a little bit, but if it moved, nothing would change. Right? This is Christians. This is Christians. This is Christians in Jesus. This is Christians in the Word. This is Christians in the Bible. Leaning, leaning, barely trusting in God Almighty. Leaning, leaning, until something better comes up. Ooh, yay! And then we get really good at leaning. We get really good at leaning. We're like, you know what? I'm going to be like, go professional as a Christian. I'm going to like throw one leg out And it's going to look like I'm leaning, but no. Wait, I'm going. Oh, no. Okay. Oh, the Lord was there. Right? Come on, you guys got the joke. Some of you guys got that joke. You're like, oh my gosh, I almost fell except for the Lord. That should not be the song. That should not be the song. The song should not be partially trusting in the Lord. That should not be the song. The song should be laying, laying, laying on the everlasting arms. It should be your full weight put into God. Okay, your full weight, everything that you got. And some of you guys, you're like, yeah, God, I totally trust you. I'm like totally in your chair, God. He's like, what about your other leg? You're like, you can't see that, Lord. You can't see the other leg. Lord, I am giving you 90% of my physical body area mass over what you're doing. He's like, your foot's still on the floor. You're like, I know, Lord, because you might leave. I need to have that foot ready to run. Right? I know, real church, too real, too quick. You're like, this is the introduction. You haven't even read any scripture. Okay? What I'm telling you, though, is that as a Christian, you put your full faith and weight into massive things. If you have a roommate, you're putting your full weight and faith that they will bring their portion of the rent. If you're married, you're praying that your spouse will not do something stupid at work and get fired, so that they can bring the full amount to the bank account, right? If you're a child, you are praying with all of your might. No, you're not. You're not praying at all. Okay, so you're hoping mom and dad give you dinner with all of your full weight. You're just sitting there waiting, different weight. Okay, we went A-I-T instead of E. So you're just waiting. What is it that you put your full weight into? Is it your spouse? Is it your love? Is it your marriage? What do you put your full weight into? Is some of you guys put your full weight and faith into that your job is going to be there on Monday, and you in faith are going to wake up, you're going to get dressed, you're going to go to the blue line, and in faith you're going to ride the blue line down, you're going to get off the blue line, in faith you're going to walk to the building, in faith you're going to hope that your conglomerate, whatever corporation you work for, has not been sold and the doors are not shut. In faith, you're going to go to work. In faith, you're going to show up. In faith, you turn the water faucet on and you get water. In faith, you go to the fridge, you open the fridge because in faith, you believe food is in there. In faith, you sit in a car and you ride in the vehicle. You've been in the Kia, it takes a lot of faith. Okay? That was too much laughter. What I want you guys to know is that you as Christians are faithful. You are faithful. You know how to do it. You can do it emotionally and you can do it physically. But Jesus said last week, he says, you can understand the sign of the times. You can tell whether it's going to be rainy or sunny. Physically, you can discern things to be faithful in. But when it comes to the spiritual areas, you struggle being faithful. Step number one, this has nothing to do with the points. We're not even jumping in the sermon yet. Step number one is to admit and be humble that you don't understand how to be spiritually faithful. Come to Jesus and be willing to be taught. Show up in chapter 17 and be willing to be taught. Put your full weight into the scriptures. Sit back and believe that the scriptures are true and real and right, and they should absolutely direct your life. Do not listen to this world that says the scriptures are outdated. They're intolerant. They're wrong. I've got a simple question for you. Is the world getting better or is the world getting worse being more tolerant? Worse. If we look at the cities in America that are the most tolerant, they have the highest murder rate. They have the highest amount of politicians who have been jailed. They have the highest amount of theft. They have the highest amount of abuse. But they have the best marketing team. Okay? We as Christians must put our full faith in the scriptures. Sure, a politician's going to show up. It's going to say key words. Hope, change, difference maker, help you. Is it really going to help you? No, it's going to help them. Jump into Matthew 17. Point number one, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Everybody's trying to get your ear. Everybody's trying to talk at you. Buy this product, it'll make you happy. Buy this car, you'll be awesome. Cheer for this sports team, drink this drink. Oh my gosh, have you been to this location on the planet Earth? If you have, you're amazing. Listen to Jesus. Why? He's got your best interest. Listen to Jesus. He knows what you're supposed to do. Listen to Jesus. He's not going to take advantage of you. He's not going to abuse you, and he's not going to steal from you. Listen to Jesus. He's going to bless you. He's going to give to you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to direct you. Listen to Jesus. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and his brother, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses, Elijah, talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, is it good that we are here? Peter realizes, I am in a holy moment. Something insanely special is happening. Oh my goodness, am I about to get evaporated, Jesus? Should I run? He continues on. He says, Jesus, if you wish, I will make three tents here. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter's making a mistake. Peter's going to Jesus, telling Jesus what he needs. Peter's going to Jesus saying, Jesus, don't you think these things would be great? Peter's missing it. And as Christians, we get down and we pray at night. We go, God, give me more money. God, give me a better job. God, give me a better house. God, give me a better spouse. It rhymed. God, sorry, that was funny, but somebody didn't laugh. Okay, my wife should have. Okay. What we need to do is we need to go to prayer and say, God, what do you want me to pray for? God, what do I need to ask for? God, what changes do I need to make? When I bring an expert into my home, like a contractor, okay, like David or Rocky, they come into my home, I don't tell them what we should do in my home because I'm not the expert. I say, David and Rocky, what do you think we should do? And Rocky and David always say, spend a lot of money. I go, I don't have a lot of money. They said, well, if you want to do it right, you have to spend a lot of money. And I was like, well, I can't do it right. I don't have a lot of money. How can I do it partially right on my budget? But I'm still talking to who? The experts. Peter needs to come to Jesus and go, Jesus, this is a random crazy moment. What should I do? Christian, some of you need to stop where you're at and stop telling Jesus what you think you're going to do to make his life better. And you need to ask Jesus, Jesus, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Jesus? This is verse 5. He was still speaking when Peter's still talking. When behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is God speaking. We have Jesus. Notice, we have Jesus. We have God the Father. We have the Trinity showing up together. This is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They're all showing up. It says, and he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And God says, listen to him. It's a command. We have God the Father saying to you and me today, listen to Jesus. I don't know. I mean, Jesus has kind of made my life difficult before. I probably won't listen to him. Right, I go to the doctors. Doctors always make my life more complicated, right? But do you feel like they're right? Hey, Nathan. Yeah, doctor. Your cholesterol's high. I know. I've been trying to raise it, trying to get an A. Nathan, that's not good. No, I don't agree with you. I'm going to ask for a second opinion, but from someone on the internet that has no reason to give me an opinion. He said, well, you know, Nathan, what I need you to do is I need you to exercise more. No. I need you to eat foods that are purple and they're vegetables that are actually grown in the ground. Wait a minute, you're trying to trick me, doc. You want me to go into the produce section? No, not doing it. Right? Some of you guys get great expert advice and you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. And God says, this is Jesus, my Son. Listen to him. Because when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. A lot of Christians don't like that. Sometimes God shows up and you're terrified. Let me change that. Most of the time, when God shows up, you're terrified. It's not like, oh, Jesus just entered the room. Do you feel it? I feel so comfortable. Oh. No, when Jesus enters the room, you're going to fall on your face. Don't believe me? You may like Donald Trump. You may not like Donald Trump. Donald Trump walks through that door with the Secret Service and everybody else and walks into this room. Some of you are going to get just plain stupid. No, I'm not. Did you see my Facebook, what I've been saying? And you're like, and other people are like, whoa, traitor, what did you just do? What's the president of the United States? And let me tell you something right now, Christian. If you don't know how to honor somebody, you don't know how to love God. Obama walks in this room. Those of you who don't like Obama, you better do the same thing. You better give honor. If you don't know how to give honor, you're not a Christian. God the Father speaks in a big, booming voice. And the disciples find themselves face to face. When was the last time God spoke? You found yourself face down. I've been in an argument with God the Father, and I've lost. I've stood in a rice field in Japan, shaking my arm up at God, saying, I don't want to serve you. I don't want to be a pastor. I don't want to do what you want me to do. And I heard the voice of God the Father speak one single word, enough. It was booming. It was loud. It pressed my face onto a gravel walkway out in the middle of rice field. Pressed into the ground. Enough. Some of you, you serve a good Father. You serve a loving and kind God. But he has his point. He has his point. My kids have learned that with me. You can mess with Dad. You can mess with Dad. You can mess with Dad. But there comes a point when Dad says, enough. And the kids scream, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's so angry. I only painted my fingernails on his brand new bedspread. Ugh. I don't understand why. I love it. Jay Brown, stop that. Yep. One time. But then Jesus came and touched them. And he said, rise and have no fear. So God the Father spoke and there was fear. Jesus came and touched him and said, rise up, have no fear. Some of you need to be touched by Jesus and stand up and walk in his way and put your full faith in him. But some of you guys are putting your full faith in yourself. It's not going to work. And then they were coming down the mountain. Jesus commented to them, tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And his disciples asked him, then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? He answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. Jesus is talking about future. He starts messing around in the context. There's a lot to study here. Come on Wednesday night. Okay? He does come. He will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. So is it that Elijah physically showed up in physical form? No, it's the spirit of Elijah. It's the purpose of Elijah. It's the role of Elijah. It's like the President of the United States walking in. If I said the President of the United States walked in, do you realize how many options there are for who actually walked in through the door currently, right now, while we live? It could be Bill Clinton. It could be Jimmy Carter. Okay, it could be George Bush Sr. It could be George Bush Jr. It could be Obama, or it could be Trump. So it's the role, the purpose, the position of what they're doing. Sometimes we miss things. We get stuck on things. Point number two. In faith, take all things to Jesus. In faith, take all things to Jesus. Please underline, circle the word all things, little, small, big, medium. Take it all to Jesus. Here's why. If you don't start practicing taking the small things to Jesus, you will not have the experience to take the medium things to Jesus. If you don't practice taking the small things to Jesus and practice taking the medium things to Jesus, when it's time to deal with the big things that you've got to take to Jesus, you can't do it. Let me change my language. You need to be able to sit in the chair of the small things and put your full weight in the chair of the small things before you can sit in the chair of the medium things. Because what you will do is you'll do this leaning thing. You're still the one trying to be in control. And look at the Gospels. Jesus is not about helping people who want to remain in control. Jesus says, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Is he talking about you controlling your life? No. But we don't want to do it, do we? We want to look like we're doing it. We want to maybe look like we're leaning on the arms of Jesus, but we're relying on our own stuff. You see, I'll lean a little bit, but I still got to be able to respond in case, Jesus, you pull the chair out from underneath me. I got to be able to respond, Jesus, because you're not trustworthy, Jesus. That's what it comes down to, Christian, is you don't trust Jesus will hold you. You see, you don't sit in chairs that are rickety, right? How many of you guys have looked at a chair and you're like, I'm not sitting in that? When I was a young kid, I would just go up in a tree and climb trees. I would just climb trees. I would never look at a limb and think, can that hold my body weight? I would find out, no. But as an adult, I'm not climbing in a tree. When I was a kid, I can't say this statement really well, so it has to be in code. When I was a kid, we would play tag, but tag would be on the structures that are at the top of the house. We would play tag. Five kids running around in the suburbs on shingles. Then my dad played tag with my bottom when he told me that we were destroying the shingles. And I was it. Number two, in faith, take all things to Jesus. And when they came, the crowd, a man came up to him, kneeling before him. Notice the posture. And he said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he has seizures and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. Notice verse 16. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. Guys, sometimes you're going to bring stuff to me as a pastor, and I can't handle it. I'm gonna be like, we need to go to Jesus. Now, the truth is, even if you bring me small stuff, what should we do? Go to Jesus. If you bring me medium stuff, what should we do? Go to Jesus. If there's a large thing, what should we do? Go to Jesus. Why? Because that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to go to Jesus. And the small things and the big things, go to Jesus. One of the fun things I've been trying to do is pray about everything. I've been practicing. I'm working on my Kia. Praying about everything. This week I was changing the spark plug. Some of you guys don't know what that is. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's good. Just make a lot of money and pay a mechanic. Changing the spark plugs. And I got to the fourth spark plug and I pulled the fourth spark plug out and it was covered in oil. That's not good. That means that the seals have been broken somehow, and oil is leaking into the vehicle. I was like, okay, Lord. I just dumped probably tons of oil down into the engine. I really hope that when I start this up, this car runs. I really would like not to buy another vehicle, Lord, but if I'm supposed to buy another vehicle, we'll buy another vehicle. If I'm supposed to give this car to the junkyard, I'll give the car to the junkyard. But God, I really like how we use this vehicle for ministry in the city and for your name. Really would love for us to continue to do this. Lord, whatever you want to do. There was no answer. Kept going about what was going on. Put it all back together. Sat in the car, put the key into the ignition, stopped again. Lord, I really would appreciate it if this thing started. Then I realized, some other things to that, and continues to run for an additional 70,000 miles, and it doesn't fall apart from rust. You know, like, you got to put all those things in. What is it that you pray about during your day? Is it only asking God to bless food that really he shouldn't bless because it's filled with preservatives? Unless you're just asking him, God, please make me into something that can be in a museum for 1,000 years. Like, what are you asking God to bless? Okay? Be real. He's told you. And he brought them to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Dang, Jesus. Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your little faith. Allow me to change the translation. Because you were putting your faith in the wrong spot. You had a very little amount of faith on me. You were leaning just a little bit on me, but you were putting it in you. You were making it about you. Don't make it about you. Make it about me. You don't cast demons out because you have any power. You cast demons out because I give you the power to cast demons out. Don't rely on yourself. Go back when Jesus sends out the disciples to train them. They go out in the scriptures and the gospels and they cast out demons and they heal people and people find out about the kingdom of God and they come back and they tell Jesus, oh my gosh, all these amazing, powerful things happen. And Jesus says, don't celebrate that. Wow, downer Jesus, we were totally celebrating. He goes, no, don't celebrate that. Celebrate that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you will be with me for eternity. Celebrate leaning on me with everything that you have, putting your full weight spiritually of your soul in me. Celebrate that. Don't make it about you. Here are these disciples, just like me and you. I make it about me all day long. Do you make it about you all day long? Make it about me all day long. Why? Because I love me. Why? Because I'm with me all day. Why? Because if I do well, I feel like I do well. So I want me to do well. You're the same way. You want that. Because of your little faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Okay, Jesus, what did you just say? Who is a mustard seed relying on to grow? The answer is God. You know how many mustard seeds don't grow? The ones that God didn't want to grow. Some of you guys, this spring, you're going to try to plant grass, and you're going to throw tons of seed out, and a bunch of that seed's not going to grow. You'll even read on the bag if you go to Home Depot, proven 80% effective. That's pretty good. That means 80% of the seed is going to work, but that also means 20% of the seed's not. But I don't know how the birds know to pick the 80%. Apparently that's the good seed and they take it with them. What Jesus is saying is don't think you're the one that's going to do it. When I sit in a chair, I don't think that I've got to concentrate deeply and make sure that I stay in it. The chair's designed well enough, I can what? Relax. But you're trying to depend on yourself. You're trying to make these things go the way you want it to go. And a simple question, Christian, is how's your strategy working? Is your strategy working? Point number one was listen to Jesus. Point number two is in faith, take all things to Jesus. All things. Three is reliance on Christ is the key. Okay, this is the crux of the teaching. I started out with the introduction. This is the crux of the teaching. Reliance on Christ is the key. Reliance is faith. Reliance is faith. You rely on the scriptures according to how to live your life. If you don't argue with what the scriptures say, and you do what the scriptures say, then you're relying fully on the scriptures, which means you have faith in the scriptures. if you're relying on Jesus fully, and you're relying on Jesus for air, for gravity, for the sun to come up. There's so many things, Christian, you're relying on Jesus for that you have no idea. If you can start to put that into practice, that you're going to rely on Jesus. How about you rely on Jesus that how many of you guys have actually ever really missed a meal? How many of you guys have actually honestly been destitute and homeless to the point that you had no structure over your head, including a car? How many of you guys have been so destitute you didn't have friends who could give you food and who could give you clothes? So why are you worried about whether you're going to have money? Why are you worried about what your job is going to be? Why are you worried about what school your kids are going to go to in college? Why are you, I'm just talking to me right now. You guys just need to listen. Because I'm putting my faith in the wrong spot. I'm forgetting that Jesus can show up and get a couple pieces of bread and some fish and feed 5,000 people. Jesus said to the disciples, you feed them. You know what Jesus was saying? No. You try to feed 5,000 people on your own. Not going to happen. He's like, why don't you sit in my chair of faith and let me feed the 5,000? That's when it works. Some of you guys, God is calling you into a deeper reliance on him, and it hurts. It's scary. You lose yourself. We looked at the scripture last week. If you lose your life, you will save it. But if you try to save your own life, you will lose it. Let me change some words. If you put faith only in yourself, you will die for eternity. If you put all of your faith in me and you put no faith in yourself, you will live for eternity. But isn't it hard? Can't we admit right now as Christians we're leaning? We're leaning. We're leaning. We're not all the way in. We're not sitting down. We're not totally there. We're leaning. And what God is saying to many of you today is, I want full reliance on me. Trust me, I'm good. Trust me, I'm amazing. You want to see how amazing I am? Look what nation you were born into. I've already taken care of you. I don't have to give you another gift, is what God could say. Think of it, guys. I have a friend who's in India right now, and he sent a picture back of the slums in India and the millions of people that live in slums. Slums being no sewage. Slums being no running water. Slums being no concrete floors or wood floors. How well are we doing, Christians? Has God provided? Amen. Yes, he has. Maybe we should praise him. We should praise him. But what I have to confess is, oh God, I'm selfish. I want more. I'm not content. God goes, very good, Nathan, way to admit it. So let's work on it. Thank me for what I've given you. Thank me for what I've done for you. Thank me for how I've taken care of you. When you start doing that, you start meditating on all the things that God has done phenomenal in your life. Start moving into holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord, holy is the Lord. And when he asks you to do something, you're like, yeah, he'll carry you. Whatever he wants the outcome to be, he'll do it. We'll make it happen. Because as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were greatly distressed. They were distressed because they were trying to figure out, what does that mean for this cool party we have going on? Who's going to be in charge if Jesus is gone? Who's going to give the bread? Who's going to give the great statements? Who's going to lead us? See, they made it about them again. But if Jesus says, I've got to go, just give me some time, I'm going to go die, and I'm going to come back, everything's going to be good, then we should just trust him. He says he has to go for 3 days, he'll be back. It'll be good. When we can rely on Christ, full faith, when he says to us, to a mountain, not a real mountain, but to something that's so gigantic, something that's so big compared to us, something that's immovable. Language from the Old Testament would be a Goliath in your life. something that you're coming up against, that there's nothing you can do. God is saying, rely on me. Good. I can be trusted. Point number four. Jesus can provide even the simple things in strange ways. Now, the key to that is the strange ways. Some of you have to admit that Jesus is going to provide for you, not the way you want him to. Okay? Jesus isn't going to provide the way that you want him to. He's going to provide the way he wants to. Okay? Jesus is not Santa Claus. You don't give Jesus your wish list. You don't itemize to Jesus the things that you want. That makes you the master and Jesus the slave. Big problem. How about you go to Jesus with a blank list, write your name on it, and just confess, Jesus, whatever you give me is going to be exactly what I need. You're a good God. You're an amazing God. This morning, God, you blessed me with the ability to wake up and breathe. Praise you, God. Jesus can provide even the simple things in strange ways. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the tax? He said, yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first. That just blew my mind. So someone comes up to Peter and says, does Jesus pay the tax? Jesus walks into the house, wasn't there in part of the conversation. It shows you God's holiness and his power, knowing the conversations that are going around, knowing the needs that need to be taken care of, fully aware of the pressures that are against you. And he walks in and he starts a conversation with Peter. He says, what do you think, Simon? From who do kings of the earth take toll or tax? Do you know that sometimes God is going to start a conversation with you that just seems random? And if you're like, you know what, God, you're just wasting my time. Get to the point. That's not a good response. The best thing you can do, you're the master. What do you want to talk about? Whatever you want to talk about, I'm fine. Some of you guys work for bosses. You do it all day long with your boss. Your boss will just blah, 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 blah. And you're like, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. Father, forgive me, I've just lied. Right? When he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, what do you think, Simon? From who do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others? Now, Jesus, this is the same question today. Politicians downtown, who do they take money from? Do they take money from their own bank accounts or do they take money from your bank account? Do you realize that a lot of the things that Congress in Washington passes are not applicable to senators and to representatives? Do you know that also here in Chicago, that ordinances that are passed are not applicable to aldermen? Same question can be posed today. Got a baby politician growing, I love it. Of course, from the love home. Of course. Okay? From whom do kings of the earth take toll? From their sons or from others? And when he said, from others, Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Jesus is asking a question. Is he really taxing you? Are you one of his sons? Are you one of his daughters? Is Jesus really taking something from you that's a burden? Jesus is asking you a key question today. You who believe in Jesus Christ are sons and daughters of the King. Is he really taxing you? No. Some of you, you struggle to give tithes and offerings. You struggle to have joy giving back to your Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father has blessed you with an amount. He goes, I love you. Here you go. Boom. Now he's watching you. Some of you are like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to give you something. There you go. God, are you happy? Not the right heart. Not the right heart at all. I tried that one time with my wife. I'm taking you on a date. Be happy. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. God gives you an amount. Why don't you pray and go, thank you, Lord, for giving this to me. How much should I give back to you? Some of you don't have a lot because you can't pray that prayer. Lord, how much do you want me to give back to you? And he's like, how about you give this amount? He's like, I think that's a bit much. Can we negotiate? He wants to see your heart. He wants to see your heart. Today, nowadays, we have that in America. Women, you want to marry me? I want to see your heart. I want to see your heart. I want to see how much you want to commit to me. I want to see your heart. And like idiots, we charge it. That's not showing your heart. Showing your stupidity. Sorry, too real. God is the same way. He's like, show me your heart. Do you see that what I gave you? You're like, no, I used my talents. I used my gifts. I used my intellect. I used my connections. I used my network, Lord. What if God just decided to say, okay, let's see how your networking goes, and I'm going to remove all my blessing and favor from you? How would your life go? Wow. We may see it in our lifetime in America. As America keeps insulting God Almighty, we may see it. I would argue we're already seeing it in Chicago. This is a city that says it doesn't need God. Look where we're at. But Christian, you look at God and you go, God, thank you for what you've given me. What do you want me to give back? I promise you, you have a joyful heart. You give to God what you're supposed to give him. And you have a good attitude about it. He goes, oh, here's some more. Key lesson. It's not a bonus. You're supposed to do the same thing again. God, thank you so much for what you gave me. What out of this do you want me to give you? He's like, well, I want you to give that. He's like, okay, here you go. He's like, well, here you go again. You're like, oh my gosh, I should probably stop asking him what he wants. No. Do it again. Okay, God, thank you so much for what you've given me. What do you want out of this? Then he'll go, I want to know what you want to give. Like, ooh, trick question. Show him your heart. Now, I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm not talking about, oh, I got a full paycheck. I'm going to give all of it to God. No. We're talking wisdom still. I remember as a pastor, we actually gave money back to a family that tithed too much. They had the right heart. They had the absolute right heart. They put massive amount of money in. And as pastors, we went, no. And we gave it back. They had the right heart. Wrong application. Okay? What do you think, Simon? This is from the others. And the sons are freed. Verse 27. However, not to give an offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. Okay? And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. Okay, some of you guys, God wants to answer your prayers. Some of you guys, God wants to bless. Some of you guys, God wants to provide for you. He just wants to provide in a way you don't want to provide. You don't like fish. You think they're stinky. You don't like going down to the ocean. You don't like walking. You don't like taking a pole and putting on a little string and throwing it out into the water. You don't like activity. You want God to serve you. And God is saying, no, it's what I want you to do. I want you to be obedient. Listen, Christian, God is going to say crazy things to you. God is going to say, I want you to go down to the street corner and I want you to pray for 5 minutes. Here's what we do. Well, why am I going down to the street corner? Why am I praying for 5 minutes? Lord, how are you going to use this for your glory? How are you going to use this for your kingdom? Oh, God, I so pray that you use it for your kingdom and for your glory. That's like, I just wanted to see if you'd go to the corner. Like, are we playing Simon Says? He's like, yeah, and you're not doing well. I didn't say Simon said, I didn't stay in the corner. Okay, I'll stay here in the corner. Christians, God wants to open up massive blessings in your life, but he wants you to be mature enough to handle them. Sit there for a moment. God wants to bless you with massive things, but he wants you to be mature. How about we get on with the business of being mature? Right? Let's go that direction. Let's do it together. Why? Because God wants to bless us in crazy ways and meet crazy needs. He does it all the time. Whether through a fish in the mouth or whether through a lady who sent me money so I could go back to school that didn't even know I was praying about going back to school. God can do anything. Trust him. All right, here's our application. Worship team, come on up, man. Here's our application. Start small and work your way up. Start small and work your way up. Don't go for the big things yet. Start small and work your way up. How about in some respects this week you rely on God in your marriage? How about you rely on God to take care of the situation with your boss? How about you rely on God to take care of your bank account? How about you rely on God to do many things? Now, I'm not saying you sit and don't do anything. I'm saying in your activity, how about you rely on God? You know how to rely on things. You know how in faith to put your full weight and effort into things. Practice putting your full weight and effort into God. But where are some small areas you can rely on with Jesus? Where are some medium areas? Maybe you're doing the small ones. Where are some mediums that you can work on? Maybe some of you guys, you're nailing some of the mediums, and now the big ones are starting to come up. Now here's when I learned that I wasn't ready for the big ones. Because I would go to the big ones and I would do this. They're like, okay, God, I am totally relying on you to take care of this big issue. I have totally sat in the chair, God, and I am praying that you are going to handle it. Notice I got up. Some of you guys are like me. You're like, man, God, I'm here. I'm in your presence. Holy God, I pray that you, God, just deal with that situation. He's like, you got out of the chair again. You're not trusting me. Listen to God when he's telling you graciously you're not trusting me. Move back into that trust. Okay, stand with me. I'm going to pray a blessing over our church. The blessing is going to be this, that God would bless us with being spiritually faithful. Simple blessing. If you'd like that, I just want you to put your hands out in front of you like you're receiving. If you don't want it, I get it. It's kind of scary, but if you want it, put it out. Heavenly Father, bless our church with being spiritually faithful. So your kingdom will come and your will be done. Amen.